Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, 103.1 FM on WVLP and Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We are your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, our theme music that you just heard, we got a little late start on it, but it will be there, is by Billy Foster with Renee Foster doing the wonderful
logo. We're so lucky.
What a great theme music for us. Hey, our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum. And we have a new regional art patron in the person of Mary LeVan, Northwest Indiana's own Energizer Bunny. And, of course, our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. You'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic technical building, give Walt a call at 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them all for the generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach every week for getting us on the air. He's our WVLP station manager.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission, Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts, and, of course, the National Endowments for the Arts. That's a federal agency. And, by the way, you might want to write your senator and congressman and everything, because in the current administration budget, the NEA has been defunded. But we hope that that won't happen. But anyway, we want to keep those type of National Endowment for the Arts going on. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest, send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, theater, whatever type of thing. You know, we have a broad perspective on that. You send us an email at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. And Art on the Air is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. Hey, our show archive can be heard at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. Along with our detailed arts calendar events there, too. So we read them too fast in the air. You can see it, and you'll see all the hyperlinks and everything. Our shows are also carried on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m. And we're heard on WIUN Red Hawk Radio at IU Northwest. We'd like you to like us on Facebook. It'd be really great. And just new to us is we now are now available as podcasts. Right now we're on Anchor, on Spotify, Breaker. If you go to our website, you can see all the places that are podcasting us. Soon we'll be on Google and a few more. We'll just keep you that if you do that. But just go there and everything. Hey, by the way, you know how we get on the air here? We're getting on the air by listener and support. So we'd like to thank the supporters that do us now. We are a community-based radio station, a public radio station, so we don't run commercials. We just run our underwriters and thank them for that. We'd love you to be part. Mary LeVan stepped up and gave us for this specific show, and it benefits the station. We have benefit underwriter levels at a whole bunch of things. We'll read you at the beginning and end of our broadcast and throughout the broadcast day, and of course, you'll be in all those other places that we are being heard. You know, if you want information about that, you can go to our website, breck.com/AOTA, or you can go to the WVLP site, wvlp.org/support, and do that. You know, we don't want you just to be a listener, though we appreciate your listenership. We want you to become a supporter or underwriter of the station, whatever amount you can. Every little bit helps. We're upgrading equipment. We'll soon have telephone call capability. Whatever you can do, we can. And I say this every week. Esther always laughs at me when I do it. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, because you'll feel so good about supporting our station in whatever amount you can. Well, now it's time for our arts calendar. I'm going to start with Porter County. Valparaiso Center for the Arts, Brower Museum is doing the Brown County and Beyond exhibit, continuing. Spectral Speculations, those are Japanese prints. Mary Broke's Unfinished, and prints by Latiro Capelli. Those are all part of the Brower's Museum exhibit. Some of them are part of the permanent collection. You can see that information, links on there. Village Gallery at the Pines. Well, guess what? One of our guests has been on the show a couple times, Susie Vance. She's going to have her wonderful exhibit opening February 23rd. Will be the opening 1:30. Publix is welcome. That's in Valparaiso. Paparazzo. She's a fiber artist who paints, is how she describes her work. Susie's also been on the show a couple times, and we'd love to give her support there. That's at Village Circle in Valparaiso. Chesterton Arts Center, well, they are one of the people that sent us everything they're doing. They're currently taking applications for the Chesterton Art Fair, which is in August. They're available online, and if you get in early, you save money. Their current exhibit is 18 artists that opened on February 2nd, and so you can get in there. They are continuing a whole range of classes for adults and kids. Monday Night Ceramics is one of them that returns, stained glass classes, and of course, coming up on the first Wednesday of every night is Mac Vanderwein doing a critique night, and so that's at 7:30, and you can see any information about that. Art Barn. Well, Art Barn, way out in the middle of on North 400 in Valparaiso, Duneland Photography Club opened their exhibit on February 4th, and they're going through March 14th. It's called Anticipating Spring. The Duneland Photography Club has about 18 photographers in this exhibit. They also are just starting their spring class signups. If you go to their web link on our events page, you can go there. March classes are beginning at Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques in Chesterton. Go to their Facebook page or website. We have the links on our page, and you can find out more about what's going on there. The Ellen Firm Gallery, they're on US 12. Well, they have two photographer friends of mine, Deb Armstrong and Henry Schultz. They're doing a whole interesting photography exhibit, self-taught photographers. They have many years of experience. They're avid hobbyists and professionals. Join them to see their art. They will have their opening. They had their opening February 14th at the Ellen Firm Gallery on US 12 in Beverly Shores there. And I was talking to Leo there, and he says, well, sometime I need to get you on there on an exhibit. So I'm going to be chatting with him about doing an exhibit there myself. Kevin Firm, they're all part of that thing. He still has his exhibit at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. And they'll start at January 26th, be running all the way through May 25th. So if you get a chance to see that, go see Kellen Firm's exhibit. It's wonderful work that he does.
I know. He's incredible.
He does. Yeah. The Depot Museum and Art Gallery. Well, they're coming up on their third annual 5x5 exhibit at the Depot. That's their kickoff exhibit. 5x5 is either on a photographer's in a framed 5x5 or a canvas. It's all original work, and it's a fundraiser. If you want to participate as an artist, you can pick up a frame or a canvas at the Ellen Firm Gallery on the US 12, hopefully by March 1st. They didn't have the frames in as of yet when I stopped by, but check with them at the Glenn Firm Associates Art Supply there in Beverly Shores. Memorial Opera House, well, they have Mary Poppins, the musical. They'll be running through March 1st, so if you get a chance, go out and see Mary Poppins and see if she can really fly. Dig the Dunes, well, I think they still have a few calendars left, but you can find out online. Check with good old Eve, she'll do that. But one of the events that they're sponsoring is a Tuesday, February 25th, 6 to 8 p.m. It's a glass class. And what you do is you create your own masterpiece with glass, trinkets, mermaids, fish, starfish, and then they put it all together. It'll be at the Devil's Trumpet Brewing Company in Merrillville. Again, information is online. 4th Street Theater, well, they are doing their art, is their new show they're in rehearsal for. It'll be coming on March 13th through the 20th. It's a three-person show, kind of dramatic there, and we've had one of the characters on. The other one they have is March 14th. They have, and I always say that very carefully, Make Shift Up. On March 14th, it's Yuck of the Irish, celebrating Irish. It's a comedy with their improv group there, and so that's what's coming up. And something that just came in late, for all you artists out there, and this is actually a LaPorte County thing, but it came to me, St. Mary's School, well, at the old St. Mary's School on 11th Street in Michigan City, they are selling the space, the school's closed, as art studios.
So you can renting the space, selling it.
You're right. Well, renting it, but you can get a space for $250 a month. It's like an entire classroom or half of a classroom for $125 a month. So you can see details about that. I'll have a link on our events page when it comes through. So that's all I've got for Porter County. What do you have going on in LaPorte County?
Well, before I get to LaPorte County, I want to say congratulations to Dawn and Julia. In LaPorte Gallery, the Thaddeus C. Gallery is located in downtown LaPorte, and it is an incredible gallery. Please look them up. Lubesnik Center for the Arts, their current exhibit is in all three galleries, and it is local at LCA, and it's Art from the Area Artists Association that will be closing very soon, just next week, I think. So go see that exhibit. Absorbing the Abstract, Student Works from the LCA, and that closes February 29th, and that's in the NIPSCO Art Education Studios. Rising Phoenix Gallery is closed until March 1st, and I looked and looked and could not find anything that was opening in March, so hopefully by next week we'll have something on them. SFC Gallery, no exhibit this month, but there is Artist Appreciation Night on February, March 13th from 5 to 8 p.m., and it's an open invitation. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. I think they're still on winter hiatus. Nest is exhibiting the work of Robert Serco, Me, Myself, and Eyes, and it's Bob's recent paintings and drawings, and it covers a wide variety of mediums. It's an incredibly exquisite body of work. First Friday Drum Circle with John Wenig, that begins at 6:30 p.m., March 6th. Is the next one. Saturday, March 21st, and every third Saturday, the All Ages, All Talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent. That begins at 7 p.m. It's an open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. Brain Injury Support Group is held in the Nest during the winter months every third Wednesday of the month. March 18th is the next one, April 15th, May 20th. It's a great group of people. March is International Women's Day, and we're having celebrations all through the month, thanks to the Michigan City Commission for Women. Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m., March 8th, will be tributes to prominent suffragist activities, and we'll have refreshments. March 15th, the Leah Shoshana Band is coming with protest songs and a sing-along, refreshments also. March 22nd, Laura Scruggs has developed a wonderful afternoon. She's a storyteller. Ada Chang is a storyteller. Lisa Marie Farver is a poet. And Terza Joy, she's a singer-songwriter and jazz vocalist. And then, of course, refreshments. And then March 29th, the incredibly amazing Dan Schaff has put together an entertaining glimpse into women's suffrage through pre-1920 silent films. He does such a beautiful job. I can't wait for that. March 14th is Open the Vault. It's the second layer of storytelling workshop from 10 to 4 p.m., and it's done through Roger Batten and My Path Bibliotherapy. Art and Horse-Assisted Healing and Empowerment, that's March 28th on 2020. I think it's going to be held at Transitions Stable. That's from 10 to 4 p.m., and more events and details on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page.
And that's what's going on in LaPorte County.
It is.
Well, let's go move to Lake County here. Studio 659, they're continuing with their salon show called Artistic License, and that will continue through February 28th. Yes, you can see Three Pieces of Mind there if you get over there in Whiting, right on 119th Street. South Shore Arts, well, Bachman Gallery now is continuing with the Maurice Sendak Memorial Exhibition. That'll be going through April 12th. The Atrium Gallery is Jane Mihalik and Leslie Sobel. They're doing their exhibit called Earthforms through March 8th. Crown Point, well, their Crown Point branch of it is doing Winter in the Indiana Dunes, a combination of work by both photographers and artists, and you can see that in Crown Point. Substation number 9 in Hammond. Julio Guerrero is still going there. Gallery of the Voice, you can see his work. Toll Theater, well, he's going to have Jim Synergy. It's a surreal thing. His reception is going to be on February 21st, so his work will be there. Cafe Fresco in Crown Point. Stark Minus Digital Paintings. That'll be going through March 14th. Also, if you're an artist or involved in the arts anyway, there's the South Shore Arts Chamber Luncheon on Wednesday, February 26th. There'll be at Purdue Northwest Chess Gallery on Indianapolis Boulevard in Hammond. And you can go there and enjoy that and share something that's going on in your artistic life, whether it be music, theater, whatever. It's a great time to meet other people that are doing things in the area. We even get our guests to go over there and share about tomfoolery. Joe Rowan will be at Art in Focus at South Shore Arts on February 24th, 10 to 12 p.m. And he has a brand new musical instrument that he designed, and he will be demonstrating that. You can contact information there. It's on our event page. You can always get a hold of the wonderful Donna Catalano, and she'll be happy to help you out there. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District will continue with their Black History Month exhibit. It opened February 7th and will continue all the way through the month of February. Information online. South Lake Artist Cooperative. Well, they continue with coffee at the Zip Coffee House in Crown Point and their Crackle exhibit at Coffee House 2 in Highland. They're getting ready for their new exhibit at the Wild Rose Brewery, so you can find out information going on. Paul Henry Gallery, they're continuing with their exhibit called Interwoven Stories. It'll be a multiple artist exhibit. They'll be running all the way through February. And remember, every Thursday night, They have the Paul Henry Acoustic Jam, 7 to 10 p.m. Theater at the Center. Well, they are now running through March 22nd, Almost Heaven. It's music by John Denver, kind of an autobiographical story about what he's doing. And so that's running through March 22nd. They also have dinner theater packages available. Promise You Art House, their new exhibit that they opened on February 1st called Nostalgia, and that's in Highland. It's in the house right there on Kennedy Avenue, so you can see that. Fox Gallery always has open mic nights. Details are on their page. Lakeshore Community Concerts, well, their next concert is March 12th. They're bringing the Scottish Quartet, Maxwell Quartet, and you can see them. They have individual tickets, and you can even buy half a season ticket at this point. And they'll be announcing their new season coming up shortly. We had them on the show a couple weeks ago. Northwest Indiana Symphony, well, March 6th, they're coming up with their concert, Vivaldi, Rachmaninoff, and Beethoven Symphony, and they'll be featuring Jana Resnick, which I've had on my stage as part of the concert series. And in South Bend, yes, we're reaching out that far, 7th Annual For the Love of Art Fair. It's Michiana's premier indoor art fair, 50 live artists there. That's going to be March 7th and March 8th. Find out information on our thing. It's at Discover Hall in South Bend. Hey, where's your information on our thing? You can have it by sending it to artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. And so you are listening to Art on the Air, heard both on WVLP and on Lakeshore Public Radio. Well, our guest is on today. He brings lots of laughter with his concept of tomfoolery. And it's a wonderful thing. He's done doing this for, I think, about 4 years, or coming up on his fourth year anniversary, if I'm correct.
6 years, Larry.
6 years. Well, how about that? Boy, time flies.
Well, what's a year or two? It doesn't matter.
Well, it's the fact that you're doing it, and you started at Lingle's Pizza. Tom Bielek is here. Welcome to our show.
Welcome.
Well, thank you, Larry. Thank you, Esther. Thanks for having me in. I sure appreciate that. Who says there's nothing to do in Northwest Indiana? My gosh, you just spent 10 minutes reading off all these great events that are happening in the artistic world. And
all over the region.
Oh, there's something for everybody in
something
there, which is true.
Something for everyone.
And I love hearing you mention my friend Mary Levan's name. Mary's a neighbor of mine who just happens to be the number one Tomfoolery Fun Club fan. She comes to all of our shows.
She's the number one fan for a lot of people in this region.
And my partner and I, Michelle Pisco, we're Mary's number one fan because she's a true inspiration
so
to
true.
Everybody out there that just the positive energy, a positive attitude, high energy, a great role model for all
she
of us.
She is Northwest
to
Indiana's Energizer Bunny, I'll
my
tell you
gosh.
That.
She can't keep up with her.
Oh my gosh, in her 90s, and this woman goes and goes and goes. And
she's doing Zumba in the morning and climbing Mount Baldy in the afternoon.
I know.
And then comes to our show at the at night.
So. Oh, I always see her at the Sugar Fest, among other places. She always comes out to my exhibits whenever she can. And I always say, Mary Levan is the sweetest thing at the Maple Sugar Fest. So
absolutely.
Well, Tom, tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, where you been, because you've been around the country and then you came back to Northwest. Tell us all a little bit about you.
Well, thanks, Larry. I sure appreciate it. Once again, thanks for having me in today.
Glad to have you.
Unfortunately, my partner Michelle wasn't able to make it in today, but she sends her regards for sure. Personally, I'm an entrepreneur of sorts, although it wasn't always that case. I grew up Northwest Indiana and went into the corporate world out of college. I spent most of my career in the healthcare pharmaceutical industry, 25 years actually, most of that with Abbott Laboratories, local company. And I worked in sales training, sales leadership. And after 25 years, I took an early retirement after a downsize. And I was 50 at the time. And, you know, I thought, well, I'm just going to go back into something that I'm comfortable doing, which is what I was doing. And I interviewed for a few jobs and was offered some that weren't quite right and others I wasn't offered. And it kind of hit me one day when one of the hiring managers that I was interviewing with, he kind of looked at me and said, you know, you've got great qualifications. You've got everything we need. It just doesn't seem like you really want to do this. And, you know, I took a step back and I thought, you know what? He's right. I really don't. I'm just kind of done with this. And
wow, how perceptive.
It probably did me the biggest favor ever, because
right.
I think he could have hired me and I would have gone on for another 15 years doing that type of work. Then I met Michelle, and we were out one night. We're just having a few drinks. This is very early in our relationship, and there was a little lull in the conversation, and it wasn't a whole lot going on. And I just thought, you know, it seems like we could be doing more. We should be doing more with ourselves right now instead of sitting here watching these TVs with games on that are right. replays of games. We already know the outcomes. So, you know, she said, well, what would you really like to do if you could do anything? And I thought about it for a second. I thought, you know, I'd really like to produce a show. I'd like to maybe do some comedy and mix in some live music. And she said, "Well, what do you know about that? Have you done that before?
Did you do it in high school at all? Were you in the theater department?
I mean, it was like an introvert in high school. Didn't really talk to anybody except my close circle of friends. Never got involved in theater, entertainment. My knowledge base of comedy comes from watching TV for about 50 years.
Do you have a funny family? I mean, did you laugh a lot?
Not at all. No, very quiet family. In fact, my brother's the type of person, if he didn't have to talk to anybody ever again, he'd be perfectly happy with that. So I was kind of the outlier. So Michelle said, "Hey, well, why don't we do it? Let's just give it a try." So we knew a couple of people who had some fringe connections with people in the entertainment world. Meaning a friend of mine knew somebody who kind of did stand-up comedy, and another friend of mine had somebody who was in a band. So we just started to piece it together. You know, we took some money and bought some lights and some speakers and some microphones, and a friend of mine built a little stage. So we got these really cool PVC pipes and put them together and hung these Bed Bath & Body curtains from, it looked like a little puppet show, actually. And we did our first show, and people liked it. They thought, this is really fun. When's the next one? And that was 6 years ago, and since then we've done about 80 events, some small events with, 40, 50 people in the audience, and others with, 400 or 500 people in the audience.
And you started at
Langel's Pizza in Highland, Indiana. In fact, Rodney was the one that made the comment when he walked in and saw this curtain with the – he said, "What are you guys doing, like a puppet show?" Kind of stung a little bit, but I just said, "Just sit back and relax and enjoy the show." And he really liked it, and we still go back there. Actually, we've got our 6th anniversary show on March 7th back at Langel's, and actually our best shows are probably at Langel's because the energy is just so good, and everybody just has a great time.
Mm. So when you and the show is called?
It's called the Tomfoolery Fun Club.
So, and you have both a Facebook page and website, so they can find out information there.
At TomfooleryFunClub.com.
Yeah, there you go. And you have an event coming up, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, but that's kind of a big event, and you're moving out east a little bit. So you're going from the Lake County roots about expanding out. First of all, just talk about the expansion, and then we'll get
sure.
to specifics.
Well, first of all, it takes a while to build a brand. Anytime you want to do this, it takes a good bit of time. In fact, the first 3 years or so, I mean, we really struggled with even paying for these shows. I mean, the talent needs to be paid, and we feel like we need to pay them their appropriate wage. So the first 3 years, we're really struggling. But and then I like to say, over the last 3 years, we've just done remarkably well. I must say, we've probably made $300 or $400 doing this over the last 3 years. But it's more for that intrinsic. I'm being facetious. Make a few dollars doing this, but the idea is to have a self-sustaining endeavor,
right.
With the idea that we can do what we want, and if we make a little money doing it, all the better. So, having said that, our brand is starting to catch on a little bit, and we got a call from the folks at the Auric Shrine in Michigan City who were interested in learning more about what we did, and we've done some fundraising events for other organizations. Ideally, this is a vehicle that does that. It brings people in, and from that point forward, then the organization can kind of take over and work their magic to raise some funds.
Sure.
And you serve as the MC. You and Miss Michelle
and I, we co-host the show. Actually, you started off as Tom Bilek's Tomfoolery Fun Club. I was the star of the show. Not the star, but the host.
Right.
And Michelle was helping me with a lot of the technical aspects, helping to build the website, put together the Facebook page and things like that. And our first show was great. I mean, we had people just lined up. But after the second show, third show, we started to struggle a little bit. We thought, well, we need a co-host
right.
for the show. And we took on this exhaustive search to find somebody who could actually co-host the show. And Michelle looked at me one night, and she just kind of looked at me with those big brown eyes, and she said, "You know what? I'm going to co-host this show." And since then, we've just formed a great partnership, and we work really well off of each other. I always tell people that we're sort of the free part of the program.
You
don't really pay for what we do up there. We just kind of get things going, and sometimes it works, and other times we just get off the stage as quickly as possible because we know we're not the professional entertainers. We like to leave that to the pros.
Well, I remember before I met you, I met Michelle when I was living in Highland. I was out on the bike path, and they had that little thing, and we got to talking, and she was talking about the whole mm-hmm. concept here. So I actually met Michelle first. Tell us a little bit about her. Since she's not here, she had another engagement and couldn't get off.
Well, yes, Michelle, she's an educator by trade. She spent many years in the East Chicago school system. And then she also took an early retirement and went into the corporate world. So she's a consultant with an educational assessment.
Aspire, isn't that?
NWEA is the, okay, NWEA. Name of the company. But she's very accomplished. Actually, we like to think we're both very accomplished outside of tomfoolery. Michelle, for example, she has two master's degrees, and I have one library card, and I use it once in a while. Yeah, just checked out a book last week, actually. Very proud of that. But Michelle's terrific. I mean, she's like the total yes person. If there's ever any type of doubt in my mind, is this worth doing?
Which right.
I've probably quit this 50 times over the last 6 years. She's like, you know what? We're onto something good here. Don't let it go just yet. And in terms of ideas and things like that, we'll kind of go back and forth. And many times, I'll get my way until a month passes. Then I'll come up with this great idea, which is really her idea.
Right.
And she'll just kind of look at me and say, yeah, that's a great idea.
Let's do that. Yeah, sure. Well, and if you want to see Michelle, you can see, you have a YouTube channel, so you can see like little video promotional chats that you do.
Absolutely.
With the two of you. So you can actually see her. And we'll get you guys back on so we can hear Miss Michelle, because we can hear her as the check and balance here. So,
well, all the videos that we have on YouTube, those are all homegrown. I'm kind of the idea man, to be honest with you. I have a visual of what I like to see, and then Michelle takes her MacBook, puts it all together. Yeah, and it's all self-learned.
So where do you find your talent? How you early did it, and now they're coming more to you?
Great question. Actually, we would actually seek out talent by going to shows,
right,
and approach comedians or bands after their set. Say, hey, we're doing a little show in Indiana. You want to maybe check it out? But since then, we have a lot of comedians that now come to us and they say, hey, we've heard about your show. We'd like to get some stage time. And we audition everyone before,
sure,
they come in. We don't do any open mic stuff or anything like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just when we charge, $20 or $25 for a ticket, we want to make sure that the talent is tried and true and it's
right,
high quality. A couple things we look for in our comedians. First of all, we do a clean show.
Right.
We like the comedy to be clever, creative, maybe a little edgy, maybe a little off color at times, but any
family friendly, most for the
gratuitous
most part.
Family friendly, I would say 18 and up.
Right.
I mean, if a 14-year-old was in the audience, they wouldn't have to cover their ears.
Not this day.
We just don't market the show for young kids, simply because most adults don't want a bunch of little kids running around at night.
And the venues you're at, many cases are also have alcohol. So
normally 21 and up, so. For sure. But the comedy is good, clean, clever. It's kind of a throwback, I guess, to the comedy you might have seen on, of course, I don't know how old you are, but as a kid, I grew up watching Johnny Carson or Carol Burnett's show,
sure,
or Dean Martin or Ed Sullivan.
I'm plenty old enough to know those shows.
We try to mix it up a little bit to give, we first of all put together a nice diverse lineup of talent, so we don't want three or four of the same person
type of
coming,
yeah,
out. It's going to be a nice diverse mix. When I was in corporate, I did diversity and inclusion training, and I see the importance of just making it look like a representative of society.
Reflection Northwest society. Indiana, and a lot of your comics and acts are from Northwest Indiana or nearby.
Nearby, most of the comedians are Chicago based.
Okay,
or Chicago suburb based. We've had a few from Northwest Indiana. Most of the bands that we incorporate are from Northwest Indiana. The coming show we have in Michigan City features Nick Danger, which has been a band in Northwest Indiana for many years.
Sure.
And in fact, Jerry Clemens, who fronts the band, was a high school classmate of mine. But
where'd you go to school, by the way?
Went to Hammond High School.
Oh, there you
go. Yes, right on.
You're a Hammond guy all the way then.
Born and raised in Hammond. Spent some time in North Carolina. Moved back to the area. Then
I heard moved back to your family home. Is that
came later, yes. Moved back to Munster, actually, and then took a promotion when I was in corporate, so I moved up to Libertyville.
Okay.
And spent 15 years up there. That's where my kids were raised. And then when I was downsized from Abbott, took my retirement, also went through some other life changes or whatever, so I just decided to move back to Hammond, which coincided with the time where my folks were selling the family homestead. So actually had sold the house and cleared it out, said goodbye, and just before the house closed, the buyer passed away. It was an unfortunate situation. Oh. I died. So now we have this house, like, what do we do with it? And I needed a place to live at the time, so I had a couple of sticks of furniture. So I'll just stay here for a couple of months, and I'll just watch it until it sells. Well, it never sold, and finally I just said, I'll just take it, and I'll this will be my place. And that was about 10 years ago, and now it's full of furniture, full of stuff, and I weed out from time to time, but yeah, so it's kind of like home right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP and Lakeshore Public Radio, and we're talking about the Tomfoolery Club today with the one and only Tom Bilek.
Thank you, Larry. That's a fun club. It's a fun club because we want people to come and have fun and relax. The format is comedy music. So shows typically last about 2 hours, but it's not like you're watching a two-hour movie where you're planted for that whole time. I mean, we want people to get up, move around during the music. You can dance if you want. You can talk with your neighbor. You can go to the bar. You rest. It's very very casual event. When the comedy comes on, though, we do like people to kind of turn their cell phones off.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And pay attention, and that's kind of the concept. In fact, Michelle is the educator. She's the teacher in the she's kind of gives the rules to the audience. Like, okay, we need for you to put your phones up. We need for you to not talk during the comedy section, and they follow the rules. It's pretty cool.
Well, Michelle probably has that power, you know, as an educator. So
I can't do it. I can't get away with it. The people just think I'm being mean, but she says it, and you're like, okay.
So you go to the Tomfoolery Club, and you can apply my motto, which is eat, drink, and be Larry. So
So I watched one of your little clips on what you resolved to do. Have you followed through with any of those that I
our most recent podcast. Yeah, you know what? I wasn't kidding about going to the library and getting a book. That was one of my things that I resolved to do was read more this year.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be an avid reader. I'd read a lot of history. I really enjoyed reading about American history, presidential history.
It's so pleasurable to go into a different place through words.
Yes. But I kind of got away from that. And this year I thought, I really want to do that. So I wasn't joking about getting the library card. I did go get a library card, and I did check out a book, and I've been reading it. As you get older, it's a little more challenging, I think, to sit and read, especially at night, because I have a tendency to get tired after about 3 or 4 pages. And before you know it, I've been waking myself up with my own snoring. So.
Was one of them.
Oh yeah, and getting organized. I got the whiteboard in my office now, and I've got a book put together by Brendan Bouchard, who's a podcaster that Michelle's an avid follower of. Well, she got me this book that actually shows me how to plan my day and then go back at the end of the day and recap. And I've been doing it about every other day, to be honest with you. So
I know I listen that you have multiple calendars, and I do too. And they don't. Everything doesn't always get what the other one has, so I have to centralize what I'm doing.
And I need reminders all the time. I have to set a couple of reminders, like a two-hour reminder and then another hour reminder, because I forgot what the two-hour reminder told me to do. So trying to get organized and just keep everything moving forward.
Sounds like you need Outlook or a Google Calendar there to help you out.
At least one.
Yeah. And then the other one was take tomfoolery to the next level.
Absolutely. Yeah. We want to expand it. You know, we've always kind of had this dream about maybe having our own venue, either to own it or to lease it or to maybe manage a municipality-owned type of venue. But there's just so many opportunities to present.
Do you have a few in mind?
We've had several in mind.
Well, I know the one he's going to talk about, and it's the Town Theater in Highland. That was a big hope there with them.
That was a big hope of ours. We were looking at maybe doing a lot of events there, since that was kind of our home base. But we've looked at a couple other spots, and for whatever reason, they just haven't been able to materialize. But we're still putting that out in the universe.
How often, if you had your own place, how often do you think you would have a show?
Well, personally, we might be able to do one show a week or one every couple of weeks. But the idea that there's just so much talent out there.
It's tremendous.
That doesn't have a platform to present their skills. So I think there are just many, many opportunities for shows other than the Tomfoolery Fun Club. Yeah, we could do our shows and that type of a thing. But, I mean, if we had 50 minutes, I could probably give you 51-minute pitches for different ideas for programming. So we're still kind of looking at that.
Well, in Porter County, you have the Opera House. You have a lot of little venues out here, which you may not have expanded to yet. Now, the Oryx Shrine is in LaPorte County. Mm-hmm. But there are some places out this way that you're following. You might grow a whole new following out mm-hmm. in the Porter County area.
We hope to. We certainly hope to. We hope to make this the first of many events in Michigan City.
Are you looking for new talent? Like if someone's listening to the show right now and say, I'd like to maybe perform. Is there a way to contact you to audition?
Absolutely. Through our Facebook fan page, Tomfoolery Fun Club, or send me a video clip at tomfoolery fun club@gmail.com. We're always looking for new talent. In fact,
I will send you a few people who have been great with the Captain Ambivalent show. Yeah.
Terrific. There was a time when, we kind of have comfort level with a group of maybe 30 or 40 comedians that we sort of rotate through. And there were times where it looked like, these shows are starting to look very similar, so we need some new talent. So we've definitely expanded our horizon a little bit and brought in some fresh faces, but keeping with that same format of good, clever, creative, and clean comedy.
Right. Just throwing out an idea for you, you might have a Tomfoolery Novice Night or something like that, where you bring in aspiring talent, maybe mixed in with some of your other ones, and you could market it as such. Okay, mm-hmm. Now this is their, give them a trial. And Tomfoolery might be a venue, an avenue for them to start performing.
You read my mind with to have a venue where we could have the luxury of doing things like that,
right.
Where we maybe weren't under pressure to pay rent. For a venue, we just have people come in on a Tuesday night and say, okay, we're doing, I like to use the term open mic night, but, this is sort of like Northwest Indiana's Got Talent night. Bring in your,
exactly.
Bring in what you can do and let's see where it goes. Unpaid, but, we pay all of our talent for in all of our shows, but in some cases where you want to do a amateur night or audition night, then I think a lot of people would love to come in and do that. Just get up on a stage and be under the lights and sing or tell jokes into a real microphone and have their friends and family come check them out.
So what kind, if I were to come to a Tom, actually I've been to one, so I know, but I was at the one at what became the Allure, which unfortunately burned down right on the lake by my house.
Oh yes, indeed, in Chesterton.
Yes, but what would be a typical night when I come in to see, what's the mix of talent you might see on a typical Tomfoolery event?
Oh, great question, Larry. You would walk into to live music. We like to start the music as people are coming into the venue. So for example, this show in Michigan City, we're actually going to kick off the show at 7:30, but the band will be playing, about 7:15 or so to kind of warm things up a little bit. 7:30, we dim the lights, band will kick up the sound a little bit, and then about 7:40, Michelle and I will come out and introduce the show, welcome everybody, and go through some announcements.
And the rules.
And the rules. Michelle will definitely give everybody the rules. And we'll do our little shtick. Sometimes we get on a roll and people are laughing, and other times they're just kind of looking at us like, what are you doing up here? And then we'll just kind of skate off and bring out the first comedian. And, many shows kind of do sort of a stair-step approach to comedy where your beginner goes first and you kind of work your way up the ladder to your quote-unquote headliner.
Right.
In this show in Michigan City, all three of these comedians have served in that quote-unquote headliner role. So it's not like you can come into the show halfway through and still see the best part. I mean, they're all high-quality comedians that could very well close out a show. And we like to think we could just sort of pull the names out of a hat and right. And put them in order like that. So, we produce a show in a way where we like to think that, it keeps it moving. First comedian comes out, does a 10 or 12-minute set, and then we go into live music, and the band plays for a while. And then we just sort of back and forth, toggle back and forth between the comedy and the music.
Well, some of the comedians you have, Marcy.
Marcy, the one and only Deloney, will be with us. Marcy's been with us for, since we really started the Fun Club. Colleen Brennan, who actually is a Michigan City native, she's been with us now two or three times. And she's just got a great wit about her, and she really transcends a lot of different audiences. And then Lucky Luciano will be our third comedian. And again, Lucky's been with us for about 4 or 5 years now and does a great job.
We have a clip from Lucky, so why don't we take a listen to him
check
right now and check him out. Here's Lucky Luciano.
Hi, name, Puerto Rican woman, for 34 years. I'm exhausted. This is not easy. If you think I look young, it's because my wife keeps the house so cold, I age cryogenically. My friends look at me like I'm some kind of unicorn, a guru. They ask me, 34 years, I don't know how you do it, man. I've been dating this girl for 3 months. And already she's in my ear. Me, 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 me. I'm like, huh, after 34, it's Ka-ka! Ka-ka! I've developed a little twitch. I don't even hear anything out of that ear. We're happy. My wife is happy, you know. My friends always ask me how I keep my, like, look it, look it, look it. How's your wife so happy? And I'm like, two words, direct deposit. Only the women are clapping. The guys are like, I hate that. Haven't seen cash in years, man. So we're Latinos, so we did it backwards. First, we had kids. Then I found a job. Then I found a place to live. Eventually, we got married. And finally, we're in love. Exhausting. So my wife and I, we've been through the sickness and health, through the rich and poor, and through the good times in the 80s. And we have reached this magical place. We have reached till death do us part. We're in it for the insurance money. Somebody's getting paid. It's almost like last man standing, you know? She just doesn't give me that look anymore. Now it's like, oh, you're gonna die. You're gonna die, die, die. I don't even feel safe. My wife's favorite show is How to Get Away with Murder. I'm never gonna see the money. I'm never gonna see the money. I know it, I know it. I have diabetes. And look at that, she's proud. Type one! My wife cooks everything with Captain Crunch. She's like, here's your rice and Captain Crunch! I eat it. I know I'm not gonna see the money because I love my wife and I want to go first. This is only because she's threatened to haunt me if she dies first. I'm scared of that kind of stuff, man. I believe in that. I can just see it now. I'll be sound asleep, right? She'll wake me up. She's like, hello from the other side. I'm a twin. My brother is older, but only by 11 months. We are very close, my brother and I, okay? We spent our whole entire lives together. Most of our lives. Anyway, the other day, he posted a picture of him and his wife on Facebook. And his caption read, "She completes me." Except, he forgot the second E on complete, so what he wrote was, "She completes me." His brother's a comic, right? So I quickly posted, "Hey, what's complets?" Right? Oh my God, he posted this big excuse and blah, blah, blah. So I didn't think anything of it. A couple of days later, he calls me up. He tells me, "Hey man, you got a minute?" I said, "Sure, Frank, sure. "Hey man, why are you always trying to bring me down, man? Why are you always embarrassing me in front of people?" I said, "Well, what are you talking about? You corrected my grammar on Facebook, bro." He said a ton of nasty stuff. He even said, "We were never bros." Right? I was like, "Oh shit!" I deleted. I unfriended him right away. Okay. Unfriend. Right. We didn't talk for almost 6 weeks. 6 weeks, no communication. That's big for us. And I'm like, "Huh? Fine, fine." So I finally got a text from him. Right. I memorized this text. Okay. So he wrote to me and he says, "Whether you believe it or not," but he spelled weather like Al Roker spells weather. I was like, oh, the first word. Oh.
Yeah, that's Lucky Luciano.
That's Lucky.
And you'll be hearing him when?
Absolutely. We'll hear him on February 29th at the Oryx Shrine Center in Michigan City. Three comedians, Colleen Brennan, Marcy, the one and only Deloney, and then Lucky Luciano, Nick Danger. Local rock icon providing the tunes throughout the evening. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And yeah, you'll have Miss Michelle year. There, too.
And Miss Michelle will be there, absolutely.
A leap day. Yeah,
it's a leap day. It's a once every 4 years kind of a thing. So tickets are $25. Plenty of seats available. We've got a nice pre-sale so far. We're looking for a big crowd, but plenty of room in that center. $25. Go to tomfoolerifunclub.com.
Are you reserve seating or is it?
We do have a table space. If somebody wanted to reserve a table for eight, or if you had four people, and just to make sure you sat together, you just let us know. We'll be very accommodating in that regard.
Excellent.
I also see that you can order them through the Shrine direct at orcshrine.org.
Absolutely, you could do it that way as well.
We just want to make sure you do it because it's if you haven't been out to one of these events, it is truly a fun club. So.
It's a lot of fun, or you could just come out by yourself. I mean, we like to include everybody. We don't want anybody to stay at home because they don't have anybody to go with. You come out and sit with Michelle and me. Sit at the captain's table. It's okay. It's cool.
So, and then your next event is March 7th?
We have a couple of events coming up. Actually, we'll do 3 weeks in a row, starting with the Oryx event on the 29th. March 7th, we'll be back at Highland at Langell's for our 6th anniversary show.
Anything special for the 6th anniversary?
Well, you know, we'd like to think they're all special. This is a little different lineup of talent. Actually, we have two newcomers and one returning comic. Brian Hicks will be with us. And for those of you that don't know Brian, Brian is he's from the Chicago area, and he's been with us now for a few years. And we'd like to say that we can provide a platform for talent as sort of a springboard. And about a year ago, we had Brian at our show at Langell's. And then the very following week, we went to see Brian at the Chicago Theater, where he opened for Michael Carbonaro. So he's a touring comedian. He actually does this for a living, but he still loves to come back and perform with us. Well, because he likes us, I guess.
Well, there you go.
Absolutely. So that's the 7th. And then on March 14th, we'll be back out in Lockport at the Roxy Theater for a little bit of a different show. This will be a one-man show. It's called The Heroes of Rock, starring Skip Graparis. Skip is a comedian, a singer, an impressionist. And he takes us through the 70s rock and roll scene through song and through impressions. For those of you that might not be familiar with Skip, Skip appeared once in the movie Major League. He was starred in the role of Monty the Color Man to Bob Uecker.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
That's his, one of his movies. He also sang backup to Olivia Newton-John, was a member of the Buckinghams for a time. So he's a very talented guy. We're very happy to have him. And he's Midwest-based. So
that
Skip,
March 14th,
that's March 14th at the Roxy Theater in Lockport, Illinois. So looking forward to that. And then after that, we'll take a little break, be back in Lockport in April. And then we normally take a little summer hiatus. simply because they're like what you read earlier. There's so many outdoor free activities to take advantage of, so we don't we kind of struggle with that a little bit. We want to keep our brand alive. We want to keep things going. It's just really hard to get people inside in the summertime when there's so many fun things to do outside. And comedy doesn't really translate well outside. We've tried a few times where we've done some shows outdoors, and it's just hard to keep people's attention. You know, they want to get up and go to the beer stand.
Right.
So,
and it's not as intimate. You guys, I think comedy relies. I mean, you look at if you've been to Second City, it's a reasonably small venue. You know,
yes.
You're close to the stage. I mean, pretty much most of the places you're sitting, we call spitting distance in theater. You know,
right.
You're close.
Mm-hmm.
So communal laughter really adds to the whole experience.
Absolutely.
And being kind of in a space together and everything like
sure.
that. If venues are looking for Tomfoolery Fun Club to come to them, you'd be open to that, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. We never, we're looking for new venues, actually. That's why we've tried to expand our horizon a little bit and kind of get out of that Northwest Indiana corridor and moved out to south suburbs of Chicago. And now with this in Michigan City, there's been some interest from South Bend to maybe have us come out there. But no, definitely, we have a lot of talent that we work with, and we're not afraid to work hard and produce good, high-quality shows. And yeah, definitely. So give me a call, 219-595-YES2.
Yes, and if you go to our website, you can click on Tom's picture there, and it will link you up, take you right to him. You know, another venue that might be good for them is the Acorn Theater, I mean, which is right just in Michiana, just across in Three Oaks. I mean, that'd be kind of perfect. That's the kind of stuff that they do a wide variety of things.
So. Or if anybody has a venue that they just don't want anymore or they just don't know what to do with, give us a call. We can
talk.
We could turn something like that into something really fun.
Yeah,
a fun club.
A fun club, and you can have a regular thing. Yeah, that's too bad about the town theater, how that panned out. I sort of understand from the town's point of view, you know, it was a lot of money to roll out, but it's kind of a shame.
You know, some photos just came up in my Facebook memories today. We did a big fundraiser for them just about 5 years ago. We did it at Wicker Park Social Center, and man, we had 400 people stuffed into that social center. There was just a lot of interest in bringing that theater back to life. Mm-hmm. We put on a show with comedy and music, and people were all juiced up about it. And then, you know, like a lot of things, politics kind of gets in the way, and the naysayers, they talk really loud, and before you know it, interest waned, and now I drive past and I see a big vacant lot there where they tore it down, and you know, you get some weeds popping out of the gravel from time to time. It's just kind of sad. To think that, you know, there was this opportunity to...
And this piece of history that's now...
History, and, you know, not to say that you have to have a movie house forever. I mean, it was intended to be sort of a mixed-use venue with live entertainment, some movies, film festivals, things like that. Again, we're getting into that list of 50 ideas in 50 minutes to outline for you, but there are just many, many things that could be done if that space was available. In that case, it's not. It's gone.
It's not. And it's a shame. Yeah, it's... Like I said, I heard both sides of the argument. I would have been for keeping the theater, and, you know, yeah, it's not going to pay for itself, I think, you know, if you're looking at it like money-wise, but it would be a investment into quality of life.
It's an investment, like you say. I mean, in certain communities, I feel it's really incumbent upon the municipality to invest in the community, because if they don't, then why would
anyone else?
Why would some rich guy come around and say, hey, I want to give you this money and do this? But if you kind of grease the wheels a little bit, which some communities do a really good job of doing that. Whiting does a great job doing that. Griffith, I think Michigan City is starting to do a really good job with that too, to entice people to come in. Valparaiso, to come in and say, invest in our community because we're investing in it. Already, and that helps.
So we touched on this a little bit, but like the future for Tomfoolery Fun Club. I mean, is this something, if you can't find, we talked about the venue, but like, you know, going on once a week.
Sure. Well, great question too, Larry. You know, we'd want to continue with the types of shows that we're offering on February 29th. But I also think typically our audience is it's a 35 and 40-year-old crowd and up. And, you know, I did some teaching at Purdue last semester, and I would just kind of casually talk to the students about, hey, what do you guys do for fun on the weekends? You know, what's going on? Where do you go? And, you know, they just kind of look at me with this blank stare and just kind of shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, I don't know. And I think back to when I was in college, when we had any number of venues locally where we could go and see live music.
Yes.
And I mean, it was never a weekend where we didn't go out Friday night and Saturday night to see really high quality music. And that's kind of lacking right now.
Sure.
So I don't really have any idea what young people listen to, but I don't think it's that hard to find out.
No.
With the idea that maybe we could start to structure some events geared toward that college age
demographic
audience.
Are you going to teach again?
I'd like to. The class I was teaching last semester wasn't offered this time, but I'd like to go back and do that.
What was the class?
I was teaching a class in personal selling. So that's, you know, as a sales trainer, that was sort of my shtick, and the opportunity came up to teach the class there, and I enjoyed it. You know, I was disappointed that I didn't do it again this semester,
sure.
But hope to go back again and do it. But those kids, they just need things to do. And I always say that, you know, you read off all of these activities that are taking place locally here. Michelle and I don't look at any of that as our competition.
We
think, you know, do anything, do something. I always say our biggest competitor is the 55-inch TV set.
Well, yeah, Netflix.
Get people out of the house on a Friday night or a Saturday or a weeknight is get away from that TV and come out and see live entertainment. Because sometimes it's difficult to drag yourself out of the house and get in the car.
It's out there.
It's cold. There's always an excuse why not to do it. It's too cold or it's too hot or it's too this or that. But once people come out and see the show, they have a great time, and they're saying, well, when's the next one?
You know? Right.
So we tell them when the next one is, and then sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. But we just want to make sure everybody has a good time.
On your website, I noticed there's a join button. Tell us what that's about.
We'd like to, you know, send out an email correspondence to our fun clubbers on a periodic basis. Matter of fact, when we do our shows, we collect names and emails in a bucket and give away some free goodies, some coffee mugs and things like that. And I always tell people, some people think, well, we're going to sell those email addresses, right? We don't sell those. We promise not to sell those. But we will send you a Tomfoolery Fun Club email every day for the rest of your life. and don't subscribe, because that makes us angry when you do that. No, don't do that. Like once every week, couple weeks, we'll send
just to keep them informed where
an
you're
update
at.
As to what's going on. And yeah, that's how it goes.
A few more seconds. Any final thoughts on Tomfoolery Club? And tell us about the upcoming event.
Well, we're super excited about joining the folks from the Oryx Shrine. Nice people at the Oryx Shrine Center in Michigan City. Just very welcoming, and they're going out of their way to help us with this. The local community, the LaPorte County Convention and Visitors Bureau, just gone way out of their way to help us promote this. The other radio station, should I mention their name? Is it okay?
Yeah, sure.
WIMS, Rick Federighi has just given us so much airplay for this. Been terrific putting up posters. And then Esther, you and Larry, just been so gracious in inviting us in today.
Yeah,
so thank you so much. So come on out and see us February 29th, $25. Ticket information, this is Michelle's part. She said, go to TomfooleryFunClub.com, and I come in and say, that's TomfooleryFunClub.com.
And there we go. Thank you, Tom. You've been listening to him on Art in the Air. We're heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Plus, we're now on several platforms for Spotify and everything like that. Your hosts are Larry Breckner, Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, our manager. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, our landlord, Walt Bright and Europe, Paragon Investments. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission, Arts Project Grant, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest, email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Next week, we will have Paul Lawson and Carol Estes, both photographers of a different venue, and they'll be right here, and you can hear their thing. Paul, I know, recently went out west to shoot a whole bunch of photographs in the west. So see you next week right here on Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a terrific week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.